Today in Iraq, the government warned rebels loyal to Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr they will be killed if they do not surrender. The warning comes as Iraq and U.S. forces battle Sadr's fighters near the shrine of Imam Ali in Najaf. Sadr's forces are now in a place sacred to millions of Shia Muslims. In calling themselves the Mahdi Army, they've also evoked a powerful symbol from the earliest days of Islam. NPR's Mike Schuster has a report.
The concept of the Mahdi dates back to the 7th century in Arabia, taking hold not long after the death of the Prophet Muhammad, says John Alterman, a Middle East expert at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington.
He was the 12th leader of the community, the 12th imam, and he didn't die. According to Shia tradition, he went into occultation. He disappeared and will come back, very similar to the way many Christians think about the second coming of the Messiah. It is this idea of the Mahdi, basically the second coming, which continues to inspire certain parts of the Shia Muslim community, which is certainly prevalent in parts of Iraq.
In fact, some Shia Muslims see the coming of the Mahdi as a kind of foreshadowing of the second coming of Christ, as announced in the Quran, according to which all Christians and Jews would then be united as believers in Islam. Muqtada al-Sadr has spread the story in Iraq that the Mahdi will return soon, that the Americans know that this is true, and that they invaded Iraq in order to kill him. Many of al-Sadr's followers believe this story, and Noah Feldman, a former American advisor in Iraq, says al-Sadr is using this mythology to advance his own political ambitions.
One of the things that Muqtada al-Sadr is doing in his bid for power is trying to displace the established Shia clerical hierarchy. He's trying to jump the queue and go to the front and take more responsibility than he would normally get at his age. And by referring to the Mahdi, he's referring to a figure who is himself outside of history, outside of the ordinary course of events.
So he wants to associate himself with the idea of the Mahdi while not necessarily claiming that he is the Mahdi.
That's right. I think it would be considered sacrilegious and also implausible for him to make such a claim. But he can claim the authority of the Mahdi. So, for example, he said recently, I can't disband my militia because my militia was founded by the Imam Mahdi, and only he can return and disband it. So when you're invoking a name like that, you're saying that the authority comes from something bigger than you.
Similar stories have spread in other parts of Iraq. Last spring in Fallujah, a Sunni stronghold, many people were repeating the miraculous story of knights dressed in white on horseback, angels of God, who defeated the Americans, and of holy spiders whose bite killed the Americans and preserved an Iraqi victory. These ancient images help many Iraqis make sense out of a chaotic world, says John Alterman.
For many believing Muslims, there is an idea that angels really exist. So somebody coming up with a story saying angels did this or something involving angels, for many modern, thoughtful, educated people, would not be as far-fetched as it would be for most people in Western countries.
Of course, there are many people in Iraq who do not believe such stories. But for those opposing the United States, these stories can be a useful instrument, casting the war as a religious conflict, says Noah Feldman.
I would say that there are people in Iraq and elsewhere in the Muslim world who actively are seeking to make the conflict into one between Islam and Christianity. People who see that as being an advantageous way of posing the fight, because of course if the side of the insurgents is the side of Islam, then it's a side that has more than a billion people on its side, and it's a side that will not give up, and it's a side that's blessed by God.
U.S. political and military leaders have sought to counter the notion that this is a war on Islam, but when U.S. forces operate from sacred cemeteries or threaten to attack mosques or shrines, as U.S. forces have done in both Najaf and Fallujah, there can be little doubt that this will only reinforce the belief among Iraqis that the United States is in their country to fight Islam. For Day to Day, I'm Mike Schuster.